I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We count it a wonderful blessing again to be able to come to you by this means and preach the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is very important for God's people because it brings them to the understanding of what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do. We would like to take this time to invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Church in Danville, Virginia. You take Piney Forest Road north. You'll come to the intersection of Piney Forest and 41 or Franklin Turnpike. You will turn left at the light right by McDonald's. You will proceed 1 mile, and then you take your right off of 41 or Franklin Turnpike onto Afton Road. Afton Road Meeting House is located about a quarter of a mile on the left, very easily found. We meet every Sunday morning. Singing begins at 10:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. If you would like to contribute to this program, we'll give you that opportunity. Just make your check payable to Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church and send it to this address, 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. It's on the screen. And if you'd like to contact me, my phone number's on the screen, 434-836-6036. And we'll give that information again before we close this message. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our Father, we thank Thee that we have the blessing to be able to preach by this means to Thy people. Lord Jesus, we ask Thee to direct our minds and guide us as we go through Thy Word, and that Thy people may follow in their homes, watching this telecast in the Word, and be stirred up to study and to search it out, those things that I bring to their attention in this message. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I read to you from the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, beginning with verse 24. In verse 24, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I want to talk to you tonight about an unchangeable principle that is found in the Scripture. It never changes, it never wavers, and that is belief. We want to talk about belief in God, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much said in the religious world, in the world of Christendom, about believing. We want to find out in the Scriptures who it is that has the power and the capacity to believe in Jesus Christ. For the Bible tells us, the Scriptures tells us, that not every man has the power and the capacity to believe that Jesus is the Christ. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John, in that sermon that Jesus preached concerning him being the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, and there was a crowd of people around him, Jews, and there were those there that said, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And he says, "I have told you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I have told you, and ye believe not." And he tells us why that they did not believe. He says, "Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep." Now that's very plain. He distinguishes there that those that were not of his sheep, they did not believe. He says, "Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Now that would have been a good time if Jesus wanted them to believe, and it was up to them to believe in him, to say, now all you got to do is believe. All you have to do is to acknowledge who I am. But he had told them who he was, and yet they did not believe. And he tells them why they did not believe. He says, ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Well, in this text we find the Lord Jesus Christ telling us who it is that believes on God that sent him. He says, verily, verily, he that heareth my word, right? Those that hear his word, not only with the natural ear, but it takes more than the natural ear to hear the word. Again, in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to some unregenerate Jews, people that do not have spiritual life, that he has not given spiritual life to. And he says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Well, they were listening to what he was saying. I mean, he was right there with them. They heard his audible voice. But he says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Well, did they hear the word naturally? Well, certainly they heard it with their natural ear. But he says, you cannot hear my word. And he says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, he tells us here why that they cannot hear. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So they were not of God. Therefore, they could not hear the spiritual content of the message. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. That is in possession of everlasting life. Now we find out and discover in the holy, unadulterated word of God who it is that has the power and the capacity to believe when they hear the word. It is those that have everlasting life. He says here, and they shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So these people here that can hear God's word, they have passed from death unto life. That is, from death in sin to spiritual life. Well, who brought them out of death? Well, it wasn't by hearing the gospel. And it was not by believing the gospel that they were brought out of death. Because Jesus makes it very distinct here that those that believe on him and believe in God, they have everlasting life. That is, the everlasting life that is the gift of God, spiritual life that is wrought within the soul, that is the gift of God's grace, and therefore God's grace, salvation by his grace, enables a person to believe when they hear the word. That is the power or the ability to hear the word is because that they have everlasting life. The Apostle John, in the 5th chapter of his first epistle, in verse 1, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe tonight that the man called Jesus that came into this world 2,000 years ago is the Son of God? Do you believe from your heart that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the true Messiah? Well, you believe that because you are born of God. You didn't believe that in order to be born. You didn't believe that in order to get to be a child of God. You believe that because you are born of God. Everyone that is born of God is born of God by the Spirit. And it is by the irresistible grace of Almighty God that everyone is saved. And everyone that is saved for heaven, they're saved the same way. So the effect or the product or the fruit of the birth is belief. You see, belief is the fruit of everlasting life, not the cause of it. All we hear all the time about, sinner, if you'll just believe, if you'll just give your heart to God, if you'll just accept, if you'll just make the decision, if you'll just believe, you'll be saved for heaven. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you tonight that a person that is dead in sins does not believe, cannot believe from his heart. But a person that believes from his heart is already a child of grace, already been born of God's Holy Spirit. A person that believes that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and was buried and rose again, that belief is from a born-again or a regenerated or a quickened heart. It is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, it's with the mouth that the man confesses that Jesus is the Christ. Well, the confession didn't make that person a child of God. The confession is the evidence that the person is already a child of God because he believes in his heart that Jesus is the Christ. There are many scriptures that I'd like to go to, but time would not permit to go to all the scriptures concerning belief. Belief is, again, a fruit of everlasting life. True belief is a product of a person that has been born of God's Spirit. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we read there, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now here the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Well, he was pointing out unto them that that faith that God gave them in the work of regeneration was not of themselves. That is, the natural man did not produce that faith. The natural man did not come up with that faith. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." He says, the flesh did not produce that. Oh, we hear all the time men preaching that, sinner, all you got to do is have faith. Well, the truth of the matter is that a man that has not been born of God does not possess faith, cannot possess faith. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians in his second letter, his second epistle in the third chapter, and verse 1, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And he says, "Pray that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Now, Paul distinctly tells us that all men have not faith. And he prayed, he requested this prayer, that he would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, he didn't say, now, brethren, I want you to pray that I'd be sent to unreasonable and wicked men so that I can preach to them and so that they can get right with God and so that they can believe and so that they can go to heaven. No, he said, brethren, pray that I'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. He wanted to be saved from them or delivered from them, not sent to them. Because he said, all men have not faith. So I have proven by the word of God that all men have not faith. And then there are those that do possess faith, and that faith is a product of regeneration or the new birth. Now, there is a faith that comes through and by hearing the gospel. But it does not impart faith to the unregenerate. But it activates the faith that is already in the heart of a child of God. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, concerning that there is a faith that is revealed unto the born-again child of God, whereby that he can believe in the Messiah and in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, it tells us here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there is a gospel deliverance or salvation for the child of God who believes the message of grace, who believes the truth that calls upon the name of the Lord. Now this has got to be a child of God calling upon the name of the Lord. Because you remember that in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, that it says that God did look upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. And God concluded that all human beings in dead in sin and depravity, he said that they are all gone out of the way. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God said that there is none that seeks me. There is none that calls upon me. The Apostle Paul reaffirms that in the third chapter of the book of Romans when he says, there is none that seeketh God. So if there is none that seeketh God in the human family of the unregenerate, or those that are not touched by grace or born of God's Spirit, then this must be a child of God that is calling upon the name of the Lord. What he is saying here, that if you call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be delivered. If you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, child of God, you will be saved or delivered. The word saved or salvation is not always talking about going to heaven or being saved from hell. Sometimes it's talking about a deliverance for a child of God right here in this world, in the gospel. Let me ask you tonight, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for his people upon the cross and he saved every one of them from their sins? Do you believe in the doctrine of election, that God chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world? Do you believe the word of God when it sets forth the doctrine of salvation by the irresistible grace of God? Do you believe in that Christ that saved everyone that was given to him by the Father? Well, if you don't, then you're not believing the true gospel. Then you are in that, you are in unbelief as far as the gospel is concerned. Now, you may believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and you believe in your heart that he's the Son of the living God because you have been born of God. But you must believe the truth of the gospel in order to be delivered from the work system of men. Believe that salvation is by grace. Whosoever believeth or calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's go back to the original text. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So the believer must already be in possession of everlasting life before he can believe the gospel. He must be in possession of everlasting life, first of all. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. Who is it again that hears within the soul, that has a spiritual ear? It's got to be a child of grace. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, already in possession of everlasting life. So this is not talking about a person believing in order to get it. This is talking about a person believing the gospel because he already has it, because he's already a child of God. And a child of God should believe the gospel, should believe that Jesus Christ put away his sins upon the cross and therefore nailed them there. Child of God, if you believe the true gospel, you'll believe that Jesus Christ fought the battle upon the cross. He won the victory. He put away the sins of all of his people upon the cross, and he saved, as far as eternal salvation, he redeemed all of his people then and there in his death and his shed blood upon the cross. May the Lord bless you to understand this. Again, we would invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Church, and if you'd like to talk about these things or discuss these things with me, all you have to do is write me or call me at the address or the phone number on the screen, and I'd be happy to talk with you any convenient time about these things that are revealed in God's Word. Until next week at this same time, may God richly bless you to understand these things and search this out in God's Word. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We'll, in fact, present Calvinism in its clearest form, and then we'll let them call up and backtrack away from it as far as they want to or whatever, you know, if they want to do that. And yeah. So, you know, a lot of times, I'm not paying attention to the phone line over here. I was really wanting one of them to call in and tell us. But, I mean, I've had this discussion. Have you had the discussion with them?
Oh, yes.
And so what do they say? Why are they preaching the gospel to a dead person?
To get him to accept and be saved. Where if you can't find that in the scriptures to accept Christ, you can't find it.
Well, I know. I haven't really discussed with Primitive Baptists, but John 6 is such a familiar passage with me. John 6:44. I always ask them to read John 6:44 and 45. Now, why would they bring up John 6:44 if they thought that you could respond? They say the drawing all has to do with God. So, you know what we might do is we might end up, I think that if, and this is really why I'm trying to do this, I'm thinking that we might actually get a clearer picture of what everybody believes. You know, others will participate.
Well, John 6:44 says no man can come.
Okay.
That's universal. No man can come. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. He does not have the capacity, being dead in sin, to respond to anything that is said to him through the gospel.
Okay.
But now, the Spirit, now we believe that the Spirit is sovereign as God the Father, God the Son. The Spirit regenerates everyone or gives eternal life to everyone that God gave to His Son.
Okay. All right. Is that one of ours? You know, what does the Bible say? Yes, Carla, you know, what does the Bible say? Yes.
How are you doing tonight, John?
Doing good.
Yeah, thank you for your ministry. I enjoy watching and listening. Johnny, if you don't mind, may I ask you a question? Would you, if I understood you right, are you a Calvinist or are you a believe in the five-point tulip?
You talking to me or to Dan?
You, Johnny.
No, I don't believe that.
No, but Dan does.
Yes, Dan believes it in its, what would we say, purest form, if you could say that. I mean, he believes it like it used to be taught quite a lot. Now, a lot of them seem to be jumping ship these days. Dan, can you scoot over just a little bit?
Yes, sir.
The other way. And that is a debate that is about to take place between Ergen Kanner
and James White.
And you know
right.
what they're going to be discussing? They're not. I wish that Dan was discussing with them so they could actually get it clearer.
Well, I attended Liberty University.
Oh, is that right?
And Kanner is not a Calvinist.
Okay. Yeah, I'm aware of that. So, what do you think about that? I mean, is he a turncoat?
Oh no, Liberty University. Jerry Falwell. He was never a five-point Calvinist.
Okay. Is that your opinion too?
Well, now, when you talk about Calvinism, we don't believe everything that Calvin taught.
Yeah.
Okay. No, okay. He was not a soteric Calvinist, if that's better for you.
We do not believe in double predestination, that God predestinated people to heaven and then
right,
predestinated
correct.
People to hell. God didn't have to predestinate anybody to hell. Man took care of that himself when he disobeyed God. The predestination is only every time it's mentioned in the Bible. It's always talking about God predestinating a people to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that will definitely happen because God has predestinated His elect to be conformed to the image of His Son and to receive the inheritance that He prepared for them before the foundation of the world.
No.
Okay, sir, are you, you're saying that Ergen Kanner is right along with the
Your typical
saint?
Southern Baptist, yes. He's along with your typical Southern Baptist view.
Okay. And
but
so,
he would call himself a 3 or 4 point Calvinist. Yes.
And what would he start with total depravity?
Well, yes, to his view of it, yes.
Okay.
But he would differ. He would not agree with limited atonement, and he would not agree with irresistible grace.
Okay. Why don't you tell the community? Very briefly, if you could, what you think that he would say about total depravity. Because, see, we use these terms, and the regular person out on the street, they don't know what we're talking about.
Total depravity should be the sinfulness of man to the degree that it affected the entire man, in Romans 3 would say.
Where did it come from?
His will. Say again?
Where did it come from?
Romans 5:12, right from Adam.
Okay,
correct.
From Adam. So,
right.
Is that, without you going into a long, feeling like you have to really make a long dissertation, Dan, is that satisfactory to you?
What now?
Total depravity.
Certainly, we're the only ones that believe in total depravity.
Okay, do you believe differently than the gentleman who's calling, do you think?
Well, if he believes that the sinner can respond to the gospel.
No, I do not. No, unless it's the work of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:1.
Okay, now, so am I correct, sir, when I was telling Dan that I had too many discussions with other Baptists who don't believe that you can respond without the Holy Spirit operating first?
There are some that believe that, yes, but no, I wouldn't agree. All of them, no.
Okay, so are you saying independent Baptists or Southern Baptists? Would you say most?
Well, you would agree that the name is just one, but people differ vary from person to person. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, see what we're doing?
Let me clarify something.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, when He gives eternal life, that person is alive, has eternal life, Christ is in them, and that is without any assistance of man, without the preaching of the gospel, because John 5:25 says, verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead, he's not talking about the dead in the cemetery, they're just as dead in the sense that they're dead in sin, but Verily, verily, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Not the gospel, the voice of the Son of God. And we believe every elect, every heir of promise will hear that voice because Jesus will speak unto them, quicken their souls, regenerate their spirit, and they will have eternal
Amen.
Life.
Now, I agree.
Okay. Well, is that surprising?
Why are you a Primitive Baptist?
See what I'm saying? Okay. Now, this is what I thought was going to happen. I have been studying with Baptists for the last 25 years, and I'll see a widow difference in what you all say when you start. Now, I definitely see a difference, you know, as you go along on the road through the tulip, but as far as where you start, and this is what I want to get. I think when you start wrong, you end up wrong. If we could start right, in other words, work out this foundational issue.
Do you disagree, Johnny, with the idea of total depravity
yes.
as presented by Dan?
Yes, I do.
So, man is not affected at all. At birth, he has to first make a... You're saying he has to choose to sin, then he becomes a sinner? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Romans 5:12...
You would not agree with the idea, then, that men sin because they're first sinners?
No. What I say about Romans 5:12, without getting into it tonight, because I'm basically going to keep from doing that,
right.
I just say there's a so and an as in Romans 5:12 that nobody ever bothers to note. A contrast is going on there. That's what I believe the writer is actually saying, and that as Adam did, we do, and that the so and the as is the contrast, and that we're not born sinful. And so what we're going to do is... And the reason that we're having Dan, and sir, you could have actually taken his place, you know, just as well. I'd have been just as pleased to have you. All I want is somebody who knows the doctrine rather than, you know how these people call up on my program all the time, they really don't know what they're talking about?
Yes, sir.
I want someone.
I watch you every week, Johnny.
Well, I appreciate you watching.
Yeah, I appreciate your ministry. At least you get people in the community, regardless if I agree or completely or not, you get the people in the community to think. And that's more than most pastors today did in their circle. In their sermon.
Well, I appreciate
you not agree, Dan.
I appreciate you saying that.
Oh, if I was going to be an Armenian, I'd go all the way. I'd go all the way.
Well, I think we're going to have a very interesting discussion already. It's building up, you know, and the fact that you're calling today, sir, that you're looking at it. And do you think Dan seems to be very able to put forth what you all are going to agree? Are we gonna? Do you really want to, Dan? Do you want to go into the other points, or are you gonna stay mostly on total depravity?
I'm gonna let you know, Dan, that I'm a Calvinist as well, and but I know what you're gonna say. But I do agree with Tulip, and I do agree with what you're saying. So I appreciate you being there. But anyway, thank you for your time,
okay.
Johnny. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. All right, Dan, we've got the phone lines lit up. Which I figured this is the way it was. You're on What's the Bible Saying? Yes, caller, you're on What's the Bible Saying?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Johnny?
Yes?
I just want to ask you a question to kind of clear up my mind. I watch you all the time on TV, and I appreciate you. But I want to ask you, do you believe that that God already knows the ones of us that is going to be saved and the ones that's going to be... He knows all things. We know He knows all things. But just explain to me why that the Lord would come into the world and die if none of us that were alienated to Him at that time could be saved. Why would it be just for some that God already knew that would be saved? He knows if you will be. He knows if I will be. But just explain that to me. I'm totally confused.
Okay. You know what I'm going to have to ask you to do is, this is really what we're doing, ma'am, tonight, is we hope that someone like you would call and express this great desire and hunger for this portion of truth. And tonight we're really not designed to answer that. You know, our portion of the program tonight is not to answer that. It's to get you to tune in next week when we really will start answering those kinds of things. So I really appreciate you calling tonight because you have demonstrated what Dan and I were talking about before we ever started this program. When I started talking to Dan, I told him that I believe that our community is basically starving for this information and that they don't understand the philosophy of it, the way it has all been laid out. I think Dan is prepared to give you the answer from his vantage point, but I don't want to do that tonight. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get the feedback from the community, and I appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Okay, but thank you for calling. I know that we will have that lady's interest.
Sure.
And you know what she's wanting to know. And so,
definitely.
So do I. So that's, to me, is that one online too? Okay. We had several that actually quit because they couldn't get in, I guess. So, well, Dan, you know, we were discussing before it started that whether or not I would allow a person to come and have their 20 minutes without me really responding again, I'll do it again because I think it's been very profitable. I think that the community is extremely interested. I'm just really surprised that the gentleman that went to Liberty has called in and actually says that he's holding all five points of Calvinism. And is that us? Okay. So, you know, at this point, we can just, you can unplug or whatever, and I'll go on. I've got a few things that I'm going to present from last week that I didn't get a chance to present because it has nothing to do with our discussion. So I appreciate you coming in, and we'll be looking forward to you Sunday night.
Sunday night, 9:00.
All right, y'all be careful.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, friends, that's, again, this is what is being presented on What Does the Bible Say? And, you know, what is so bad about giving another person an opportunity in a very kind, and I think we're going to keep the same demeanor all the way through. If Dan can keep his, I know I can keep mine. We're going to have a gentlemanly discussion, and I think it's going to be profitable. We already know that people are interested in that, so you tune in next week, and we'll continue our discussion. Now, one of the things I'd like to certainly demonstrate is that this is certainly on everybody's mind. Ergen Kanner is going to be discussing with James White over at Liberty University the 16th of this month. I want to give you a few clips from what Ergen Kanner has actually said about Calvinism. He's